Hello, my name is Ewan Williams.
And my name is James Pan.
And this is the Year Abroad podcast. This podcast will be talking about what you can do in your year abroad and how to do it best.
So, first question. Why should you go on a year abroad, Ewan?
The reason you should go on a year abroad is simple. To improve your language skills. You can immerse yourself, you have the opportunity to immerse yourself for a period of up to 12 months in a completely alien culture. And that's a fantastic experience. The only way you can ever hope to become fluent in a language, if you're not born into it, is to spend a significant amount of time living and breathing the atmosphere of another country. That is the only way you can do it. It's the only tried and tested way of doing it. And that is why I think that the year abroad is an excellent opportunity, because it will give you this opportunity to really hone your language skills and really improve. And you'll see across the course of 6 to 12 months, you'll really see a massive improvement depending on what you do and how you do it. But you'll have the opportunity to really see a massive improvement in your language skills.
I totally agree with everything that Ewan said, but I think we can go one step further in the sense that the year abroad gives you an opportunity to try something that you've never done before. So for example, we've both worked this year full time, which is something that we've never had to do before as students. So it's been almost a two-pronged challenge for us. It's been not only going into a completely different culture and testing ourselves linguistically, but it's also been a challenge in terms of adapting to a new working environment and to essentially adult life, which will set us in really, really good stead for when we come to graduate and we're looking at graduate jobs. We can set ourselves apart by saying we've already done 1 year in full-time work. And not only did we do a full-time job, we also did it in a foreign country. So I think that's the real benefits of going abroad, and why I think so many more students should take up this opportunity.
Of course, going abroad is not easy said and done. There are a lot of pitfalls and a lot of scary aspects to it. And so what we also want to cover is some of the ways you can avoid those pitfalls. One of the key things you need to do when you're going on your year abroad is to make sure that you integrate properly. Now, there are some different ways to do this, but what's really important and to really ensure that you improve your language skills a lot is that you have some kind of social life with people that you're actually in the same country with. So you need to find, so in our case, we're living in Paris in France. So we wanted to actually meet and hang out with real French people on a regular basis. So James, how did you go about doing that?
So for me, I wanted to continue playing sports even when I was abroad. So I played to a reasonably high level at university. So looked up local sports clubs in Paris and went along for trials. So both of us tried out two different clubs. One was far better than the other, so we decided to stick with that. And then I was invited to go and join their 11-a-side football team. So this was an opportunity for me to train and play matches in France, but also to spend time socialising with real French people. And it was really great because the company that I've been working in this year has been essentially half French, half English, as it's an Anglo-Saxon company. However, the French football environment was entirely in French, and it was, you know, real conversation. So this was a great way for me to improve my language and also to keep fit. And it was really good for my mental health as well. Mm-hmm. So a fantastic opportunity. So if anybody's got, essentially what I would say is look into how you can continue your hobby on your year abroad. It would be a great shame for you to lose practice or to lose that sense of enjoyment and fulfillment you get while you're a student. When you're working. So really do the very, very best to find exactly what you want to do.
I couldn't agree more. I, on the other hand, wasn't so sporty, so I wanted to find another way of integrating. I noticed that at work, a lot of colleagues would often stay afterwards for a drink, like an apéro, which is quite common in France. And because my company was like 100% French, this was quite common. So I often will stay after work, just have a drink and a chat with my work colleagues. And it's an excellent opportunity to exchange in French and to sort of really get a sort of more social side of work and really get to know my work colleagues better. So I think that's an excellent way of doing things as well. Another thing that you're going to have to do if you want to do an internship is obviously earn one, get one, achieve one in some way. And to do that, you're going to need to find an internship, apply for it, and then pass an interview at some point. So there are multiple different steps here. But the first thing you need to do is obviously find that initial job. And there's multiple ways to do that. So James can first of all take us through how he found his internship.
So even though I'm a French and history student, I want to become a lawyer. So I want to do the law conversion course, which is essentially a master's after you've graduated So that means you spend an extra couple of years studying in order to qualify as a solicitor. So I wanted to find an internship in a law firm. So I used the contacts at our university to find previous students who had done internships in France. So I used those contacts and sent what we call speculative applications. So that means there isn't actually a job advertised, but you just email them with your CV and cover letter to demonstrate that you're interested. So I managed to secure an interview. It was a very lengthy process, as it took several months for me to secure those internships. But what the great thing about speculative applications is that it shows you've got a real interest in the first place. You're not just applying for any old job that you can find online. You've really researched and looked specifically for an opportunity, which is really appreciated when it comes to interview.
Obviously, you can find internships other ways. One of the most popular ways of doing this on the year abroad is to look at internship-specific job posting sites. So these are actually tailored sites for year abroad students. And what's great about this is that the internships that you'll be doing will already meet the year abroad requirements. So you don't have to have any concerns about whether the whether your university will accept them as a year abroad. So these internships can be really good. As a sort of backup option as well, potentially, because obviously speculative applications are quite high risk, whereas this is sort of a more tried and tested way of getting an internship.
And one of the great things about being a language student at a UK university is that lots of companies, especially in Europe, are really desperate for you to come across and work for them for a year, because they love the fact that A, we're native speakers, and B, we've got a year within our degree program that's set for us to be able to go and work or study abroad. And because you get funding at the moment from the EU, so it's a really great opportunity. And especially in France, they absolutely love that it's already organised, that there's already the legal framework in place for you to go and work abroad. And it's a really easy process to facilitate, which is why it's such a good opportunity and why language students are so lucky to benefit from this.
Do we think there are any other kind of key benefits to doing an internship? I think for me, one of the things I would say is just the fact that you're employed on a full-time basis can be a really good experience for you between your intermediate and final year in terms of improving your work ethic. Because I'll be honest and say that I didn't have a fantastic work ethic in my first and second year at university, and having done a full-time job for almost 12 months has really improved my work ethic considerably. A second thing I would say is that it's really good to get that experience of what working life will be like before you finally leave university for good, because it can be a very sudden drop into full-time work if you go from 4 years or 3 years of university straight into that. Whereas the year abroad gives you an opportunity to not only experience something different, life in a foreign country, but it also gives you the experience to see what it's going to be like after you leave university as well, which can be really helpful and really give you a clear image in your head of what you're going to do in the future.
I totally agree with that in the sense that internships can be fantastic. So, for instance, Ewan and I had been doing exams for several years now, and so to have a break from academia and from studying was absolutely great. And then also you're getting real professional skills, you're getting concrete skills rather than just kind of the soft skills that you're developing at university. So simple things such as being able to use Outlook correctly and being able to use work databases, those kind of things you can only ever learn from a professional environment and from having that constant pressure of needing to perform during the day, which a university just can't replicate.
Just being in a working environment, I think, isn't it? Just being in that environment where you're under pressure sometimes, which can be a really good thing, where other people are relying on you to do your job. I think that's a really important thing to get drilled into you before you leave university, because it's going to help you in your final year when you're applying to jobs and things like that. So I think it's a really good benefit. Of course, there are two other options as well on the year abroad that you can choose to take. There isn't just the internship route. So James, why don't you talk to us a little bit about one of those options?
So for students studying languages, they have the opportunity to go and do two semesters abroad. So this can be a great option if you're studying two different languages. So for example, if you're studying French and Spanish, you can spend one term in Spain and one term in France. So it's a great way to split up your year abroad. A lot of European universities have a lot more contact hours than UK universities. So there's a lot more interaction between the lecturers and the students, far less independent work. So this can be great for your oral comprehension, and also for your written, in our case it would be written French, but whether it be written Spanish or written German. And the year abroad, the study option for the year abroad is a great opportunity to meet lots of people from all over the world, and to meet people your age as well. So whereas Ewan and I tend to interact with people a lot older than us, if this seems a little daunting for you, then maybe the studying option may be better. And then the final benefit of studying is that you can do things which are outside your normal degree structure. So you can study modules in subjects that you would never be allowed to in your undergraduate course in the UK. So it's a good way to broaden your horizons, but also develop your linguistic skills.
Fantastic. The other option, of course, is to work with the British Council. Now, this option probably makes a lot of sense if you're considering a career in teaching or any kind of career in the education sector. So what this option is where you work for 12 hours a week via the British Council. So they place you in a school in France. Where exactly that is it depends on a sort of lengthy and complicated application process, but essentially it can be anywhere in France. So you could end up in a city or you could be in the countryside. So it can be quite a nice option if you're looking to live in sort of a real part of the country, you know, somewhere really, really authentic. That's a great option. British Council can place you there. So this option would be 12 hours a week working with different ages of children, different age groups, you know, and it will give you the opportunity to basically speak with them in English, and help assist them with their English work and help basically improve their English. And what can be quite satisfying about this as well is you're going to see how their English has improved over the period of the 6 months you're there. So there can be some real satisfaction in your job. What I would say about this option is that you need to make sure that you're motivated to do it, because you're going to have children relying on you to perform. And what can be a risk is that if you're not motivated, if you're not going to enjoy it, that you might not give it your best effort, and that could result in children not benefiting from the benefit of you being a native English speaker being in their presence. So make sure that you're really dedicated and motivated to do that one if you're going to do it.
And then one final thing just to add on is, with that option, you only have 12 hours a week of teaching time. So there's also the opportunity to go and do some voluntary work. As we mentioned earlier, being able to partake in sports or to really go a little further with a hobby that you may have. So you have a lot of free time and you have a lot of opportunity as well to explore the country. So one of the disadvantages of working is that you can be very much stuck in one city. So Ewan and I haven't really left Paris this year, purely due to time pressure. However, if you're doing the British Council option, you can earn a reasonably good salary and then also have the opportunity to go and explore.
Yeah.
So finally, we thought a good way to end this podcast would be to talk about a way in which we could improve the year abroad.
A moment of deep reflection.
So, Ewan, have you got an idea for improving the year abroad?
I think that the year abroad is already a fantastic opportunity for young people to go overseas and really experience foreign culture. Having said that, I think it would be great if they could feel more prepared when they're going. One of the ways that I've really improved my language skills before coming to France for real was coming here before I went to university even, and then again in the summer before that. And during these periods, I spent time in language schools, where I spent 3 hours a day just hard training in French in small groups. And I found this rapidly accelerated my level of French and really made me feel comfortable in the language. And I feel that even though university classes improve your ability in grammar and in sort of writing skills, I think what they can lack in is that sort of oral, giving you that oral confidence. And I think these language schools really fill that gap really well. So I think what would be a great improvement would be if students, before they went on their year abroad proper, could come to the country, the host country, and spend a month, 2 months in a language school, just really honing the skills they need to really enjoy and really benefit from the year abroad experience. James, do you think there's anything else that could be improved?
So personally, I think there is a shortage of people at UK universities going and getting work experience abroad. So I believe that universities should do more to offer students the opportunities to go and do internships or to get some other form of work experience whilst they're abroad. Because I think, as I mentioned earlier, that two-pronged approach of both improving your linguistic skills, but also giving you those professional competencies that you just can't get from an academic environment. And then even from a linguistic perspective, I think the best way to improve your language is through situations that aren't artificial. So what do I mean by that? I mean, if you're in a language school or at a university, you'll have always done the homework before you go to the class. You always know that the teacher has set it up in a certain way. You can kind of mentally prepare yourself for what every time you need to speak in the class. In a working environment, things move all the time. Different situations come up, and lots of different problems will come about during the day. And these require a huge level of spontaneity, both in terms of how you are as a worker, but also how you are as a language as a linguist. So I think the internship route is the best way to improve your language skills. And I think that more people should be encouraged to do that. Having thought quite profoundly about my experience on the year abroad.
It's definitely true that we both feel this, that the internship is the best way to improve your language skills because you're so exposed, particularly on that full-time basis, that 35 hours a week, to the foreign language. Whereas on the other basis, particularly the British Council, for example, even the contact hours you have are in English, really, or at least they should be. And so there is that risk that you're not going to improve your language skills as much as you potentially could.
And then perhaps just to completely round up this podcast, we could maybe share our favourite moment from the year abroad. The moment that we really felt, but this is particularly from a linguistic perspective, the moment when you really felt like you'd integrated and you'd really inserted yourself into the French culture that we're being exposed to this year.
So for me, that was there's a moment that immediately comes to mind. It's just when one day I was in the office and we were talking about I don't want to really talk about too much detail what I do, but basically we were talking about a particular area of France, and the boss made a joke that in this part of France it's always minus 18 degrees, which obviously it's not true, but it's a part of central France and it's obviously an area that suffers in the winter from being very cold. And so he made a throwaway remark about how cold it is, and he said so very quickly, and it was a very, very slight remark and something that other sort of English interns wouldn't have picked up on, but I did pick up on, and I found it funny and I laughed, and that was just something like a little something, just being able to understand that and being able to enjoy that joke was something that I wouldn't have been able to enjoy at the start of the year abroad. And so seeing that improvement in a sort of social and materialistic way was really fantastic.
So for me, I'm actually going to share two moments. I'm going to be a little bit greedy here. But so in a working context, I was, this was at the beginning of my second internship, I was sat down over lunch and realised that the four people I was with around the table, not a single one of them had French as their native tongue, but we were all speaking in French. And that was the moment where it really clicked in for me. That's why I'm doing a year abroad. This is why languages are so, so important, because it's a means of communicating with people from across the world. And none of us spoke French as our mother tongue, but we were all conversing in French. And then probably my favourite moment of the year abroad was after a football game where I'd played really, really well, and we all were celebrating the changing room of victory after the game, and they were all chanting my name because I'd played a great match. That was a real moment of pride, and I really felt like I'd integrated so, so well. So that was probably my favourite moment.
All right, thank you very much for listening to our podcast, and we hope you found it useful in clearing your mind towards the year abroad. Hopefully removing some of the myths,
yeah,
and also giving you just a better idea in general of
what
it's
like to be a language student.
What it's like to be a language student and the opportunities it can give you. All right, thank you very much. Goodbye.